Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Pray that you guys are having a good or great Wednesday. If not, remember, be strong. Keep pressing on. If you guys are just joining, we're doing a preaching slash teaching series on discipleship. This is part three of that preaching slash teaching series. So if you guys just bow with me, we'll have some prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be able to get into your word, Lord, to be able to look at the scriptures and see what the scripture says for themselves, not our opinions, but what the word of God says. Lord, I pray that you just be with this study, this preaching. Lord, I pray that you guide and you direct the words that you need me to say tonight to whoever is out there that's listening. I don't know who, but there's somebody out there listening to this. Lord, I pray those are going through hard times, the hardship of this world. Some have lost their jobs. Some are sick. Some are grieving tonight. Well, we pray that you be with them. Some are just pondering the importance of this life, if it's even worth it. Lord, give them hope, that true hope that is Jesus Christ, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the words that you have me speak tonight, Lord, that they just reach the hearts to whoever is out there listening. And it creates a fire and a passion within them to be that light in this so cold and dark world. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, this is part three of the disciple teaching slash preaching sermon series. I encourage you guys to, if you're just joining, to go and get the first one and the second one. They're on this website. And listen to those in combined. That's important. If you listen to this one, you may say, hey, well, he's missing this or he's missing that or he didn't talk about this. This series is going to be a long series. It's probably going to be 2 or 3 months. So it's very important for whoever's listening to this to stay up. 1, 2, and this is 3. And this may be a little controversial to a degree. What I'm about to say is this: a person needs to understand salvation. Even a child or children that want to accept Jesus in their lives, they need to understand exactly what they are accepting into their lives. There's too many half-truths out there. A preacher needs to sit down, even possible classes taught to that kid about exactly what it means to be a child of God. Yes. If you don't think they're mature enough to hear the whole story, then you need to think about and pray about the direction that you're having, where you're seeing, you know, I look and there's people that are now that are famous and they grew up in church. Carrie Underwood, Katy Perry, and now they're just singing all these filthy songs at one time. I don't know their story fully, but I would believe they would have accepted Christ or thought they were accepting Christ some point within there. And somebody did not communicate what it meant. And what you're seeing that today is with children that are now in their early adulthoods. They don't understand what it means to be a child of God. They only get a half-truth. We have to explain what salvation is. And what does it look like in your life? The regeneration, the new birth. The sad truth in most of the leaders today, especially in the American church, and I know those may be listening to this, and a person may be listening to this as part of a church, or another pastor might be listening to this, and they may say, oh, he don't know what he's talking about. What do you think is wrong with America today? The church has dropped the ball. We have dropped the ball. We need to wake up. See, there is a time coming where our faith is going to have to be strong. And we have to know with boldness the rock that we stand on. Those out there that don't understand it, they will fall by the wayside. They will not understand it, and they will turn away from the gospel. We have to be able to explain salvation. But it's sad that many leaders in American churches do not understand salvation. They don't even understand what it means to be a disciple for Jesus and how to make disciples for Jesus, because they can barely even keep themselves in the line. And only the Holy Spirit can keep us in the line. That's part of discipleship. We let the Holy Spirit take control over our lives. Salvation is important. And the last few segments, we looked at Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, which said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. Verse 9 said, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Salvation is a gift from God. And I also, once again, encourage you guys to listen to part 1 and part 2 of this sermon series. And we also looked in those segments at sin and grace and mercy and atonement. And I'm going to get more into sin. And we looked at the birth and the death and the resurrection, and how when we truly believe in Jesus, and how that changes us. Born again, regeneration, right? We are no longer old. We are now new. We are regenerated, right? We are justified. Paul tells us in Romans 5:9, much more than being justified by his blood and atonement, that death on the cross, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's through that blood that was shed at the cross. Our precious Jesus. We are justified. And a way to look at justified is just as I have not sinned. Because when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we have that atonement within us. Of course, we still have a sinful nature. But we have the Holy Spirit. We are born again. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to do what it needs to do within us, it will correct us. It will guide us. Hebrews 12, verse 4 through 11 says this, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten to exalt, which speak unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thy chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuke of him for whom the Lord love he chastens, and scourge every son whom he receives. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons, and for with son he is he whom the father chastens not. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye your bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of flesh who correct us and we gave them reverence. Shall we much rather be subject unto the Father of spirits and live? Verse 10. For they fairly for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he are for profit, that we might be partaker of his holiness. Now not chastening for the present seen to be joyous but grievous, nevertheless after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The Holy Spirit corrects us as children. And those that he don't correct, those that he don't chasten, uses a strong word here, scourge. I don't know if you guys understand what scourging means. I encourage you to look it up and see. That's what they did to Jesus. They scourged him. When you look at scourging or flogging, they had a whoop made of leather, and they would put these shards of jagged teeth and glass wherever else they could find, and they would take that whoop and they would tie somebody up to a beam or whatever, and they would take that and they would sling or whip that whip, and it would catch into the flesh and rip the flesh. Some people would die just from, they would turn to the side and it would rip their sides, and their entrails would fall to the ground. He said, for whom the Lord loved, he chastens and he scourges every son whom he receives. I thank God for the chastisement and the scourging. It's painful. But it lets me know I just sinned. It lets me know I need to get back on the path that he needs me to get on. Thank God for that. And we also looked at sanctification. That means to be set apart. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 says this, and such were some of you, but ye are washed and ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Son, by the Spirit of our God. These are very important terms. I encourage you guys to look at these terms. Looking at mercy and looking at grace and being able to explain those by using scripture. You should be so proficient at it, you don't even need to look at the Bible. That's how in tune we need to be with the Word of God. That is discipleship. Amen. And today, I want to look at faith. Belief. We're going to try to look at repentance too. And see, I'm just going to try to keep these segments somewhat short. But I can't make a promise on that. So, when we're looking at the word faith and the word belief, these are similar words, guys. I was looking at the Nelson Bible Dictionary. It said, faith is defined as a belief in our confident attitude toward God, involving commitment to His will for our life. I'll read that again if you guys are taking notes. Faith is defined as a belief in our confident attitude toward God, involving commitment to His will for our life. Also, this dictionary says that belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. A person who believes is one who takes God at His word. They take Him at His word. They trust Him for salvation. With this in mind, to really get the sense of faith and belief and how they're so similar, think of a train. And within that train, there's tracks. And there's two tracks. But both of the tracks are needed for that train to reach its destination. That's faith and belief. Faith on one side, belief on the other. They're the same tracks. They're leading the train straight to its destination, which leads straight to Jesus. You can also think of faith and belief that you can't see those, but think of electricity. If you stick your finger in an electrical outlet, which I don't encourage you, you will know electricity's there. You will know that. You don't have to see electricity. You don't have to see faith. You don't have to see belief. Faith and belief are two sides of the same coin. We know in the Greek word for faith, there's one most common use of the word as pistou, which means persuasion. The root word here is bapho, which means to convince. The word belief in Greek, when we look at the belief in Greek, is persis, which means confident or trust. In essence, these words are one and the same. That's what I'm getting at. People, the faith and belief are the same. When we look at faith and belief together, it's really this, simply putting, we take that based on facts. We have the faith, and see, we'll have faith in some form or another. Those that are telling us to not have faith in our Jesus, to not believe in the birth, death, and resurrection, they're having faith in themselves. They are portraying the higher power. They feel like they're in control of their destination. They are proclaiming a religion on facts, that they are in control. And the sad truth is, one day if they don't repent, they don't see the error of their ways or accept the fact, having that faith and that belief in the one and only truly Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, guys. Jesus Christ, amen. And those that believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, faith and belief, they go hand in hand throughout life. I came across this little saying. I laughed a little bit about it. I want to share it with you guys. It said, faith is chicken gravy without the chicken bones. I thought that was kind of cool. Amen. So what I want you guys to get on this part is, faith and belief are the same. When we look at the word, when we look at faith, you can go to Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And of course we know 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1 tells us Jesus is our hope. So our faith is in Jesus, who truly is our hope. This hope is beautiful. This hope keeps us pushing forward in faith that Jesus will follow through with everything He promises us. Amen. He promises He's coming back one day. What a beautiful promise. A second coming. Oh, to be where our Heavenly Father is beautiful. That's what He promised. Those that persevere to the end will be saved. But we have to come to Jesus, right? We have to come to that hope and faith. And Romans 10:8 says this, but what said it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that is the word of faith. That word of faith which we preach. Faith. And then it continues to verse 9. It said that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe. There's that word belief. They're using faith and belief. In thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart of man believe, there is that word belief, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. There it is. So believe in faith. Salvation is believing God who loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. The birth, right? His mission, His death, His resurrection, the hope for the second coming, to live with Him in the new heaven, in the new earth. We confess with faith and believing with all our being. Right? When we truly do this, our lives will change. We will want more in the way that Jesus showed us in the Gospels. We will be different than this world. We are born again. We are justified. We are sanctified. We are regenerated. We are His disciples. And we are the soldiers for Jesus. Amen. The next term goes along right with salvation. Repentance. Repentance is important, guys. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, "For godly sorrow work repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but of the sorrow of the world work death." 1 John 1:9, "If confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 2 Peter 3:9 said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Romans 2:4, "Are despite thy riches of this goodness and forbearance and long suffering, knowing that the goodness of God lead thee to repentance." And of course, Matthew 3:8, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." It's all through scripture of repentance. Repentance is simply turning away from your sin or sins. And when we turn away from our sins, we're turning to God. And we got to understand, repentance is not a once in a time event when you receive Jesus into your life. Repentance is a daily thing, because none of us are perfect. Romans 3:23 says this, "For we all sin and come short of the glory of God." That's just a fact. We still have flesh, and we will fight this flesh, right? Not on our own. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. We should walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And you might say, what does the Spirit mean and what does the flesh mean? We don't have to guess, guys. Galatians 5:16-26 tells us this. "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Galatians 5:16 says this, "Then I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one of the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Here are the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is God's word. It says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. There is the mission, right? When we're a child of God, we should strive more to walk in the Spirit and less in the flesh. When you come to Jesus, you got to understand that you are now new, and you are going to now have to approach this world differently. And all the things that fall under the works of the flesh, you must restrain from and walk more in the Spirit. That is part of it. That's a part that's left out, guys. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:31, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." Paul was a great man of God, and he said he had to die daily, right? We have to die daily. The more I study Paul, the more I understand I got to die daily. When I wake up in the morning, I cry out to the Lord and I pray. My flesh, I pray that it's beaten down. And that when I walk out these doors, my life is a reflection of Christ and not myself. My flesh is dirty. Our flesh is nasty. I want to walk and step more in the spirit and less in the flesh. And I know when I sin in this world, the Lord will correct me and He will chasten me because I felt it before. It don't feel very good. Maybe you guys, I pray, you know what I'm talking about. Because that's a sign that you're a child of God. To me, that's a good indication. You're like, oh no. And you feel that conviction hit you like a ton of bricks. It just lays you out. And you know, you're beside yourself. And you're praying, Lord, forgive me. I know I shouldn't have done that. You lay your heart out to Jesus and you cry out to Him. Of course, He forgives us, right? That's a beautiful thing. Romans 7:13-25 says this. That's Romans 7:13. Was then which is good made deaf unto me? God forbid, but sin that may pierce sin working deaf in me, by which is good that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For with which I do, I allow not, for what I shall do, I do. But what I hate, do I. If then I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. And then there is no more that I do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh. And this is Paul speaking. Dwell no good thing, for the will is present with me. But now to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I will do not, but the evil which I not that I do. Now if I do that I would not, is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelt in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I say another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is my members. Oh, wretched man am I, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then when the mind I make myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh of the law of sin. This is Paul. And I share the view Paul wrote Romans. Some don't view that. But we all know the author, the true author of the whole Bible is God. And He moved in man to write every word that we have today in the Bible. And this is important. Paul was fighting. We have that struggle, guys. We have to die daily. You see, our flesh, it just wants to go over there. And it wants to conform. It wants to hang out with the crowd. It wants to say those filthy words. You get in the filthy conversation. Maybe you're at work and you're a manager and you're blending in to attack people or to make yourself look good by throwing them under the bus. That is what a non-Christian boss would do. You shouldn't be doing that. If you're doing that, your heart should be grieved. And your heart is not grieved. You need to look at your life because it doesn't match up what Scripture says. You see, when we sin, our heart should be broken. Our spirit should be grieved. And that should leave us to repentance and a deep prayer. To seek God more and to walk in the spirit more and to be less in the flesh. Not being, we have to be in this world, guys, but we don't have to be of this world. We're supposed to rub off on this world, but the world is not supposed to rub off of us. How the American church is lost that. When they leave on Sunday, they blend in with the whole world. We're not supposed to. When you open your heart to God and you give your life to Him, your life has to be different. You don't have an option. Some believe they do, but their hearts are far from the truth. You know repentance, right? When we sin, we can ask forgiveness, right? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance, godly repentance, leads to forgiveness. See, sin is a cancer, guys. It will eat you up. Unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin will destroy you. I see too many be destroyed with that. Even today I see others being destroyed. You see, sin began in the Garden of Eden and continues today. And what I'm going to do in the next session, we're going to look at the original sin. But we should never be okay with sin in our life. We should strive to live a life of holiness and righteousness in step with our Father. And of course, we can't do this on our own. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, right? In closing tonight, guys, and this is part three, I encourage you guys to listen to one, two, and if you're listening to this one, hey man, the Holy Spirit has led me to give pieces of this on salvation and discipleship. When we open our hearts to Jesus, truly, our lives will be different. A life that is no different than the world. You can say it all day until you're blue in the face, you're a Christian and you follow Jesus, but your life don't reflect that holiness and righteousness. You're blending in with the world. You're changing spit with the world. You're acting like the world. You are more a child of Satan. And probably are. You're just blinded. Look at the scriptures. And look at these scriptures I'm giving you. Not my opinion, straight from the Word of God. This is what it means to open your heart to God. This is what it means to accept Jesus into your life. We've looked at, in this session, belief and faith. How they are the same. And looked at a little bit on the Greek. On that, it's important to understand, especially when you're explaining that. The whole point of this too is to understand these terms and be able to break them down when you're on the street or when you're with somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. You can say, hey, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And you could go 17:18, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved, right? Verse 18, he that believe on Him is not condemned, but he that believe who do not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed the only begotten in the name of the only begotten Son of the begotten Son of God. That's it, right? Jesus, that birth. He came as a child, born of a Mary, born of a Virgin Mary, to live a life perfect, sinless, as a perfect lamb. You can follow the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you got to read all of it together to get a full picture, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are considered synoptic gospels. John's kind of separate, but it's all good. It's all together. It gives you a picture of our Jesus and how you're supposed to walk your life. People get so confused. I don't understand. Pick the Word of God. Read it. Would Jesus approve of it? Oh, you're getting too crazy. No, I'm getting real with you. Why do you think our world is falling apart? Why do you think abortion, which has been going on since before I was even born, is approved and is increasing? And we have our nation of murder, and we'll still murder with this new administration babies. And what does the church do? We're sitting in the corner like we're scared. We have the Holy Spirit to proclaim that gospel. And we know He walked. And we know that He had to die. And He had to suffer. And that crucifixion was horrible. He did that for you and me. And He was removed from that tree. And He was placed in that tomb. And He rose that third day. And He was seen by many. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 10. And we went over that in, I can't remember, it was session 1 or session 2. And he says He's leaving the comfort, and that's the Holy Spirit. And we went over that too. And that's being born again. And we went over that in John 3, 1 through 7. Tells us about being born again. And what does that mean? And we looked at regeneration. And we looked at mercy and grace and faith and belief and repentance. All these are important. We looked at justification. Sanctification. All these terms should be normal for you to explain to somebody and to be able to give scriptures to them. If you can't, you need to pray. You need to seek God more instead of coming home and turning the TV on and finding your next Netflix series that you like to watch or something, or maybe it might be a book that is not Christian, and you want to just gorge yourself in that sinful pleasure instead of opening the Word of God and seeking His face. You can memorize scripture. See, guys, I'm not that smart. I consider myself, everything that I have is in Christ. He gives me the mindset to study. He gives me the mindset to memorize scripture. Nothing I do on my own. And when you look at John 3, 16, 17, 18. I'm just going by memory, guys, here. You look at 19. He said, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world. That was Jesus. Or that is Jesus. He came as a child into the world. Of course, we know that he rose that third day. And he is in heaven. But He tells us, men love darkness rather than the light. And that really is the same. That is the same story today. They rather worship darkness than the light, because their deeds were evil. We have to understand what it means to be a child of God. If somebody walks up to you and says, hey, what's salvation to you? You can start with John 3, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. That's good. Or you can go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 7. You can look at Romans 5. I mean, there's a whole lot of starting points, guys. Pray. Let the Spirit move you. And then, of course, the love, the agape love, and you know, there's so many starting points you can go. But we should never be okay to live a lifestyle of sin. And we looked at the works of the flesh, and in God's word, He said, those that are practicing will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is in the Word of God. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You're going to live in that uncleanness, that lasciviousness, that adultery, that fornication. You're going to live in that lifestyle without repenting of it, without confessing it to Jesus. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will go to hell. And we will look at hell too in the next session. So we're going to look at sin, the second death, the first and second death, and we're going to look at hell. And from that point, we're going to move into the cost of discipleship. Because there's a cost to being a disciple. If you don't want to pay that cost, then don't call yourself a Christian, because you don't want to pay that cost. You don't want to suffer for Christ. Well, you have a option, free will. You don't have to profess Christ. Too many people out there professing Christ and their hearts are so far from Him. And the sad truth is, many may be in the pulpits. Some are leading Bible classes and they are very popular. I'm telling you, in the last days, these people will apostatize. They will turn from their faith because their heart is truly not in it. It never was. Tonight, I just pray that you guys just listen to these messages like your life depends on it, because it does. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to preach your word, to teach your word. Lord, I pray any parts where I stumble that you clarify through the Holy Spirit. And that who's out there listening, that they may not have heard a message like this before. I don't know. That they look at all the scriptures that you have allowed me to write down and to quote tonight. Let them look at the word of God instead of my voice. I'm just a humble servant of God trying to warn that this American church has dropped the ball. It doesn't look like the church in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you just be with us the rest of the night, Lord. That you guide and you direct us in the morning. That we open our day with a heart for you. And we close our day with a heart for you. Lord, I pray once again this message just reaches whoever is out there listening to it. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, if you guys have any questions, you can hit me on my website, Facebook. I have a MeWe account now, but I don't really know how to use it. So I'm still playing with that. Of course, Pollard's down. I don't know if that's coming back up. Once again, also my phone number is on my website. You can text me. Please identify yourself if you do. And if I don't know you, we'll have some basic questions about salvation before we continue. So if you do message me, be able to explain salvation to me by the scripture. You guys have a good night. Love y'all. Be safe.